This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for being with us on a Monday afternoon, the day after the Super Bowl. Ethan was talking about how this is such a sucky day to have to go back to work or whatever. I guess I didn't party right yesterday. Just like another Monday to me.
I partied the same as I always party on Sunday, and so I'm just kind of feeling the effects like a normal Monday.
What'd you do? Have a fourth of a beer?
Had a fourth of a beer.
Was it a Bud Light?
And half of a chicken wing. And I got tired at about 9.
I don't believe the chicken wing part.
You don't?
Mm-mm.
Okay. I didn't eat a chicken wing.
How much food did you eat yesterday?
Several pounds. I would say that I ate a bunch of my dad's grilled portobello mushrooms that he makes in Andrea sauce. I had a bunch of his like sausage and cheese charcuterie that he had out, and I drank some Shirley Temples.
How do you make your Shirley Temple?
Fitz made those for me. They were pre-bottled Shirley Temples.
Is Fitz a person? Fitz is Mr. Wiggins' help. I always knew your dad had a butler. That makes so much more sense.
Yeah, he stays in the pool house.
And, you know, honestly, you growing up with a butler makes a lot of sense, too. So a lot of this.
Yeah.
You just yell
Fitz. Fitz?
Yeah. Fitz with two syllables.
I want my Shirley Temple.
You're just like,
I require sustenance.
You are Billy Madison. What's a penguin doing?
Fitz, I tried to throw something away and it went onto the ground. Please pick it up. I didn't feel like bending over.
No wonder your son wants to go to Grandpa so much for Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Waited on.
Yeah. I ask him and he's like, oh no, I just love Grandpa. I'm like, you love Fitz.
It's all about Fitz.
I've spilled the Cheerios. Please sweep. After I leave, though, I don't like the sound of the vacuum.
Who are you thinking of right now?
That's me. I'm not doing a character. That's how I talk to the butler.
I think that voice is coming out of your beard.
I can tell you where it's coming out of.
I don't want to know. Just leave it to my inference. Did you eat a normal human amount of food? Did you overeat? Did you undereat?
Yeah, I ate a normal human amount of food.
A lot?
Quite a bit.
What about you, Brad? Did you overdo it?
I feel like I did because I am not feeling as great as I did, as I usually do on Mondays. Lots of wings. Lots of wings. So
I did not have a single wing yesterday.
Really?
No, and it's funny because if my dad's listening to this, he'll be like, what? I didn't know you did that. We had to leave at a little after halftime.
Put some portobellos in your pocket.
Yeah. And take the kids home because it's past bedtime. We let them stay up even a little bit late.
What's your kid's bedtime?
8:30 or 9.
Okay.
And so they go to bed, and another friend of mine from church had said, hey, why don't you guys come over for Super Bowl? And I said, well, we already have plans. But since I had already gone home, I went back over to their house, And I thought, well, maybe over here I might maybe have a wing. They didn't have wings either.
You went over there to eat their food.
A little bit I did.
And, that's what you
and
did.
Just for the company.
Did they have a Fitz?
They did not.
Hmm. Is that why you left?
They had a Jeeves. And I tried you doing the same thing, but he was like...
Was he in the bathroom with you trying to hand you towels?
No, but he was in the bathroom the whole night. He was trying to just...
You're like, this would be less weird if you had towels.
Yeah. No, he no, Fitz, sorry, not Fitz, Jeeves, went into the bathroom right when I came for some reason. He never came back out.
Hmm.
So I was just waiting. I'm like, can I use your butler? And they're like, yeah, as soon as he gets out of the bathroom, I don't know what he's doing in there.
Did you get to see Donald Trump during the national anthem?
Yeah.
So we'll play that a little bit later. But Donald Trump had a good day yesterday.
Yeah.
He is not missing much. He's hitting on pretty much everything. Here's CBS and Face
the Nation. Our CBS poll finds that a majority of Americans, 53%, approve of the job he's doing. That's a better approval number than he ever reached during his first term in the White House. Joining us with more is our Executive Director of Elections and Surveys, Anthony Salvanto. Good to see you, Anthony. What's driving this?
I will keep it simple, Margaret. He is doing, in the eyes of the public, what he said he would do in the campaign. There's political value in that. In fact, 70% of people say he's doing what he promised. That's whether they approve of him or not. Now, there's another part of this that continues over from the campaign. There were words that he was described as being tough, being energetic, and he still is today in big majority numbers. So as people take a look in these first few weeks, there's been a lot of activity. They're getting that general sense of governance, and that's being reflected in these early numbers.
So that's perception. What about the actual policies?
Well, let's start with the ones that are popular. And again, these echo a lot of what we saw in the campaign. The idea of deporting those in the country illegally continues to be popular. We saw that in the campaign. Sending troops to the U.S.-Mexico border. Again, majority in favor. We'd seen that in the campaign. For his supporters in particular, the focus on ending DEI is popular. We had seen in the campaign a lot of them thought those processes had gone too far.
So CBS is really laying it out there. A CBS poll that's saying these types of things about Trump, that's really saying something. Watching Donald Trump strut around, he wasn't really strutting. He's just doing his Donald Trump thing. He's on the sideline. You got Kansas City Chiefs players that are huge and running over to the sideline. They just want to shake his hand. During the national anthem, you're listening to the national anthem, and then they show Donald Trump. The crowd went freaking crazy. It went crazy for him. I want to see Donald Trump get as much done right now in the honeymoon phase as he can possibly squeeze in. And I don't know that it's possible for him to squeeze in any more than he's actually doing.
What's amazing to me is that people get a little bit weirded out when there's big change that happens really suddenly. And yet his approval rating is staying way above where it ever has. Like, even above where the election would have put him. That means he's pulled some people over. It won't stay that way forever. And you wonder if there's some sandbagging going on here to say, oh, in the first month it was this, but then ever since he did blank, now it's lower. Like, they're setting up a narrative. But it's you would have thought that maybe you'd see it come down by now because he's doing so many things that the establishment doesn't like, and it's still not.
I almost wonder maybe if the media doesn't realize how much power that they've lost in this situation, and they're trying to control this narrative, and what it's actually doing is having the opposite effect of what they want it to have. So the more they gripe about it, the more people look at it and go, I don't know that I really... What they're saying is probably the opposite of what is actually happening, so...
I think they know. The numbers, the dramatic... decrease of viewership. I mean, it's like apocalypse stuff if you're in the media to look at the cratering of viewers. I think that it's possible that in maybe June or July, you get halfway in through the first year, that some people might come back to it. There's no positive news out there. If you are a true TDSer, dyed in the wool, far left progressive right now, it's all bad. Because everything that Donald Trump thinks is good for the country, you just, by virtue of it being a Donald Trump approved policy, you hate it. There are a lot of people who exist in the middle a lot of the MAHA people, a lot of the RFK Jr. Folks who I think that the RFK Jr. addition to the MAGA constituency and Donald Trump's willingness to follow through on giving RFK Jr. the nomination. I think that, you know, as soon as he gets confirmed, and we're going to talk with Ryan Schmelz here in about 10 minutes, we're going to talk about the schedule here. My understanding is maybe as early as Wednesday, we could see Tulsi Gabbard and RFK Jr. votes come through. And there is not, in my research, reason to believe they won't be confirmed. It might be a J.D. Vance tiebreaker vote, but win's a win. It goes in the win column. It doesn't matter how you get there. Donald Trump, the really important thing from that Face the Nation conversation there is that Donald Trump is doing what he said he would do. And people keep saying, Elon Musk's not elected. Elon Musk's not elected. Donald Trump was elected, and he campaigned with zero behind the curtain type of an attitude. Everything was fully transparent. Elon Musk was jumping around like a goober on the stage because he was talking about what he was going to do. They figured out how to make Doge the name of the department. That's Elon Musk's dog's name or something. I don't know. If you voted for Donald Trump and Elon Musk is doing what he's doing right now, you knew that's what was going to happen. You actually voted for that to happen. I think the only shocking thing is that they're doing it as much as they said that they were going to do it. But people who are losing their ever-loving minds over, we didn't elect Elon Musk. We elected Joe Biden. He is not the guy who was running the country for the last 4 years. Who was running the country for the last 4 years? That is treasonous. If Joe Biden was not making the decisions of the executive office, if he was the one who was elected to be there, if he was not making the decisions, and you and I both know he wasn't, that is borderline treasonous. Elon Musk doing exactly what he has committed to do through Donald Trump saying, I'm going to appoint Elon Musk to do this, and then him doing it, there is nothing wrong with that. As long as he's not breaking any laws to get there, he's not running the country. Donald Trump has him where he wants him. Elon Musk is taking all of the arrows for Donald Trump, and they're cutting an enormous amount of spending. They're exposing an enormous amount of corruption and fraud. And Elon Musk is taking the arrows for it because these far left progressive kooks are so obsessed with Donald Trump that they're trying to apply Elon Musk as some sort of villain now as well. And so they're throwing all their stuff at him. And Donald Trump is just like on the other side of Washington, D.C., cutting other things while Elon Musk is over here distracting them. Let me sign another executive order.
It's really great to watch the roaches kind of scamper here as the light gets shined, because the people that are screaming the loudest, look, they're not going to be able to stop this. They might be able to throw some gum in the works, slow it down a little bit, but they're not going to stop this from happening. So it's great to watch them freak out, because then you know even better who to focus on as maybe being a recipient of things. You know, if you're screaming the loudest, you probably have the most to lose. And so these congressmen that are going out and making a big show of how awful it is that we're cutting all this government stuff, man, those are the people to watch in the coming months to see, well, why were they screaming so loud?
Scoots on YouTube says Musk is richer since the election. Coincidence? Scooter, I'm not at all concerned about rich people getting richer when they go to government. I'm really concerned about the likes of the Bernie Sanders, the Elizabeth Warrens of the world, the Joe Bidens of the world. Explain the wealth growth that exists when middle class people go to Washington, D.C. Like, it's so disingenuous and laughable to the point where it's kind of nice that we, you know, I'm glad you said that, because we can talk out loud about this stuff right now. I don't care if Elon Musk is the richest man in the world. Someone has to be. And I'm really gosh darn excited that he's on our side. It's nice to have the richest man in the world be somebody who believes in free speech and be able to casually in a comment on X ask how much Twitter is, because, OK, maybe I'll buy it. And then $40 billion. He's like, sure, I'll do it. And then he saves the country. I mean, what a patriot. So I'm really happy for him that he's super wealthy and super rich. And I hope he keeps continuing to have success and keeps being able to innovate and provide Starlink for free for people, like even in North Carolina, the ones that the Democrats completely and totally forgot forgot. But then you see Donald Trump nominate his cabinet. And thank God we have a FEMA person in charge of FEMA now, and Kristi Noem, who oversees that, who's getting that ship corrected. And we get somebody like a transportation secretary and Sean Duffy, who's rebuilding roads and going to have access to these places that the Democrats completely forgot. Access to roads within a month, new infrastructure laid down, because they actually care about people. They actually care about the voters, the taxpayers, the dollars that those taxpayers have to take out of their checking account, out of their paycheck, that go into these coffers that these far left progressive leftists have pumped into Sesame Street for Iraq and crazy kinds of things that USAID has been pumping out into the world. That's the dollars that I care about. Sitting here and being like, but Elon Musk is getting richer. Well, you're darn right he's going to get richer. He's going to keep getting richer. That's the way the system is set up. When you work hard, you innovate, you have success, you take risks, you fail big, but you succeed even bigger. You got a problem with the people going to Washington, D.C. and working on the taxpayers' dollar like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and all these other yahoos that are out there using you and me to get wealthy on our taxpayer dollar? Start investigating there. And until you lead with that, spare me the Elon Musk thing. Donald Trump, filthy rich, really happy for him. He can pee in a gold toilet and it doesn't bother me at all. If it bothers you, then you're bothered by the wrong people taking the wrong dollars for the wrong things. And that is why America resoundingly said, Donald Trump, why don't you give it a try? Because the left completely and totally missed the mark and was able to hide it and disguise it, like you were saying before, so well because of the media. Everybody got a backdoor access to the media. They could plant stories, they could grow stories, they could nurture stories so that they could make news out of fake and fabricated information that benefited the swamp. But now everybody knows, now everybody is aware, and we all got our popcorn because Doge is here and it's doing the job that Elon Musk was tasked with doing in a campaign by Donald Trump, who said he was going to do it. So as far as I'm concerned, the richer Elon Musk gets, the closer he is to buying Disney and making that great again. It's really all about that.
Ah.
Wait.
You see how I got there?
I like that.
Yeah, I know. And more. Star Wars, that'd be a part of it.
Yeah, I'm all about that.
He could buy SNL, buy NBC. Heck yeah. MSNBC, NBC, all of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I got to go. I'm going to run out of voice for Ryan Schultz.
Well, no, I've seen it. We started in a place, and then we ended where I think you intended. So
I didn't know I was going to get there, but I'm always thinking about it. Let's take a quick break. My friend, Ryan Schmelz, our friend, your friend, he's a Fox News Radio Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. And the question is, how quickly are we going to get to Tulsi Gabbard confirmation? How quickly are we going to get an RFK Jr. confirmation? I think it's right around the corner, probably this week. And what about that big, beautiful bill that Donald Trump keeps talking about? We get our weekly update from our friend, Ryan Schmelz, next.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't ever revenue problem. We have a spending problem. And as I've been writing since the first of the year, we need to bring spending down, total spending down to a reasonable pre-pandemic level. That's exactly what Chairman Graham has suggested in the Senate Budget Committee. I serve on that committee. And what we've looked at, and I gave a number of options. You could use Clinton 1998 as a baseline, grow that by population inflation, put in today's Social Security, Medicare, and interest. They give us about $5.5 trillion. You could use Obama 2014, use the same approach. That'd give us about $6.2 trillion. You use President Trump's actual budget for 2025. Again, use today's Social Security, Medicare, and interest. That lands us about $6.1 trillion. That's the one that Chairman Grant has decided to put forward in the Senate, which is a long way from where the House is. And listen, I appreciate their efforts, but trying to put everything together in one big, beautiful bill is highly complex, and we're finding out that they're not really reducing spending down to a level where we must.
So Senator Ron Johnson speaking there, saying we don't have a revenue problem, we have a spending problem. And that big, beautiful bill, elusive, big, beautiful bill, we're asking ourselves, can we get to it? Will we see Congress come together to do the things that Donald Trump has tasked them to do? Let's ask our friend Ryan Schmelz to give us a little bit of the lay of the land. He's Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill, and White House correspondent. And he joins us again this week. Ryan, welcome back to the show. It's good to have you here.
Good to be on, Annie. How are you?
I'm doing okay. You know, this big, beautiful bill that we've been hearing since the campaign, before the election even occurred, is a big, tall order. Where does it stand right now with Republicans being able to get the job done?
Well, it looks like Republicans are going in a separate direction compared to the two chambers. So you have the Senate that's going to be marking up its bill officially in the Budget Committee on Wednesday, whereas in the House, they still have not gotten a bill text for their bill. And that's because the House is trying to be a little bit more ambitious with this. They're trying to do one big, beautiful bill, like you just said. They're trying to include not just the border, energy, and national security, but they also want to put tax law in there, which is where a lot of the disagreement is starting to come up right now. Whereas the Senate, they're going with a two-bill approach, where they're going to have those first three things, border, energy, national security, and then they'll worry about tax law at a later date. So they'll be able to get a lot of the things that they can find agreement on, which is likely going to be border, energy, and of course, national security, and then tax law, where it gets a little bit more complicated, a little bit more tough. They'll worry about that later.
So I'm glad you broke it down that way, because I had heard Donald Trump say that he would be fine with two bills as well.
Yeah.
Whatever we need to do to get it done, he's willing to sign that. But the border, the energy, and the national security, can you tell me a little bit of the meat of that portion of it? What are they trying? What are Republicans really focused on getting done with that portion of it?
Well, a lot of it's going to be codifying a lot of the things in the law that's already from the executive orders that President Trump has done, especially on energy. I think a lot of that is to make sure that if a different administration takes over in 4 years, that they can't just overturn it with executive order easily. And you saw President Biden do that with both energy, but also with border security, taking away a lot of Trump era policies that were just implemented through executive order. So codifying a lot of that into law, they already did that with the Lake and Riley Act. So that's now a law of the land. I think they want that to be the exact same thing with other border related policies. So it'll also replenish some of the funding that they're worried either Border Patrol might run out of money. There's also some concerns about national security and kind of filling some of the interest that they have there, too. So that's kind of how they're breaking it down right now. And what will be interesting to see and how they explain this on Wednesday is how these pay-fors are going to work, because that's been the big criticism of Republicans is, OK, you want a lot of these things, but are you able to pay for them? They're trying to put their money where their mouth is this time around and pay for the things that cost money.
No, yeah, that's nice to know. Pay as you go. So to me, what I'm hearing you say is, you know, Donald Trump is signing executive orders. It's like every day there are multiple executive orders he's signing. Is it as simple, just take us behind the curtain on process here, is it as simple to take the text of an executive order and just kind of stack them up together and say, all right, this is one big bill. We're just going to put the energy, like you said, the energy, the national security, the border stuff. These are the ones that Donald Trump said he wants to do. Now we're going to sign them into law. Does it get a little more complicated than that?
I think in some ways, I think you break them up and then you write them as a specific piece of legislation. Of course, you know, writing a executive order is a little bit different from writing a bill into law. So there's a little bit of a difference there. But in many ways, you are in some ways, you know, writing exactly the law the way that the executive order is supposed to work. So they do kind of overlap in a way, but I think there's a little bit of different stuff there in terms of the technicality and all that. And then, of course, they jam it all together, make it one big, beautiful bill, as we keep saying over and over again. There's different ways they can do this. They could always vote on individual parts separately or just combine it all, have one big vote on the Senate floor and the House floor, and then go home. But as we're learning, getting this thing together is very hard to do, especially on the House side when you have, what, like two people that can deflect and next thing you know, the bill's dead.
Yeah.
So this is a huge challenge for Speaker Johnson. And he's alluded to that and made it very clear that, look, we're trying to get people on the same, in the same area. And he was actually just talking to us a little bit earlier. One thing he pointed out was that he was a freshman member of Congress, I believe, when the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act was passed. They lost a couple Republican votes on that, but it was still able to pass because they had a pretty solid majority back then. They don't have that same luxury this time around, where this majority is so slim. So while Republicans have the trifecta, it's not that simple.
It's definitely not going to be easy with such a slim majority in the House. When it comes to all these executive orders that Donald Trump has signed, are any of them causing a major trip up with the Republicans, either in the Senate or the House, enough to the point where you're not sure that it'll, like, is there a big issue that is controversial among the Republicans? Or is it more about when it comes to cutting spending, like just how big do we go on the spending cuts?
Yeah, there was actually, interestingly, Susan Collins put out a statement saying she had some issues with a program that was just capped by the Department of Government Efficiency, and she put out a reason for why she does not think that grant should be capped. I need to kind of go through it a little bit more. It has something to do with NIH and a research project that they were funding up through the University of Maine. So you're seeing maybe a little bit of disagreement here and there on some things like that. And then I think there could be some problems with something like birthright citizenship, which is a very bold move by the Trump administration, and Democrats have consistently bragged about how weak of a legal case they think this is and how easy it's going to be for them to challenge this in court. So I think if Republicans are having any major issues that we've heard of so far with what DOGE is doing and what the Trump administration is doing is I think there's a concern about the legal ramifications that they have, because a lot of this stuff, while they might like it, Congress has appropriated a lot of this money already. Yeah. So since the law is telling them they have to spend this money, but they're saying, no, we don't want to spend this money because we think it's waste, fraud, and abuse and not something that's useful for us, that's becoming a big court issue. So Mike Johnson was actually just saying that we're going to have to codify a lot of what DOGE is doing to make sure that it stays and that it's not overturned in a courtroom.
Ryan Schmelz is speaking with us right now. He's the Fox News Radio Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. You can find him on X at Ryan Schmelz Fox. What is the harm or the reason to not say, okay, we agree on all of these things, let's just pass these things and get these things codified, like you're saying, and get that done, and then get to the complicated stuff later? Why wouldn't they just do that?
Well, that's, I think, what the Senate's trying to do. Now, here's the big holdup, though, is that they want to use what's called the budget reconciliation process. When they use a budget reconciliation process, they get the luxury in the Senate of being able to pass it with just 50 votes. You don't really get the luxury of doing that with other bills and other related issues. You saw with the Laken Riley Act, they had to whip Democrats to get up to 60 votes and have the votes that they needed to be able to pass that into law. It's a little more complicated to do that with every single thing. And also with that, too, there is this issue where the Senate doesn't really have a lot of time to work with, because a lot of their floor time is being eaten up by these confirmation votes and these confirmation hearings. And Democrats have been stalling them left and right on a number of these more controversial nominees. So next thing you know, it's we get here on a Monday and it's Thursday and they've had two votes on the Senate floor because Democrats held up the floor for 30 hours straight. And all that they were able to do in that time is have one procedural vote or one confirmation vote on one of Trump's nominees. So I think the reconciliation process gives them a way to warp speed some of the issues that they've had, but also be able to pass something with just 50 votes.
So, Ryan, when you brought up the confirmation process, and this is another thing that I wanted to kind of get nailed down here. Of course, Tulsi Gabbard and RFK Jr. are kind of the marquee names that people are watching to see what happens next. Do we have a timeline on when we might see these confirmation votes? And do you have any concern that they are not going to be able to pass the Senate?
We're expecting Tulsi Gabbard to have another procedural vote tonight, so it looks like she could be in for final passage or final confirmation at some point this week, potentially maybe even tomorrow. So that's what we're watching for over the next 24 to 48 hours. There could be the ball rolling on RFK Jr. That might be the next one that Leader Thune decides to go with, unless he picks a different person who's kind of been waiting in the wings to get their confirmation vote held. So we'll have to wait and see. But Tulsi Gabbard's the next up. It looks like she's on the right track. And if you ask John Fetterman, it makes it seem like she is. You know, he was somebody who was leaving the Senate floor one day and someone asked him, well, how are you going to vote on Tulsi Gabbard? He goes, why does it matter how I vote? She's got the job. And he eventually came out and said no. But I think that his confidence that she's going to get confirmed kind of shows you where things are, with members like Todd Young and Susan Collins ultimately coming out and saying that they are going to support Tulsi Gabbard. And these are, you know, Trump critics on the Republican side in the Senate. Now that he's gotten some of those members out of the way, it seems like she's on the right track. But there could be a couple stragglers. It just doesn't seem like it's enough right now to sink her nomination. But it's not set in stone yet.
Oh, we will wait and see, and we will be in contact with you. Ryan, before I let you go, we're speaking with Ryan Schmelz of Fox News Radio, as a Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. I wanted to ask you just a little bit of like a high level question on Elon Musk, DOGE, the way that they are working and functioning. My understanding is DOGE isn't an official agency of the government. That hasn't happened yet. What's the relationship like right now between those Republicans that will probably have to have some sort of actual congressional responsibility with what he ends up finding? Are they all playing nice? Are they all getting along?
As of right now, it seems like it's that way. Of course, we do not know the full story of what led to Vivek Ramaswamy's exit from DOGE. He's been asked about it. He says that their relationship is fine, but you know, we've heard a couple rumblings here and there that they may not have gotten along as much as they're leading people on to believe. So I think that's kind of a wait to see where that goes type of story. And I don't think there's been any, you know, major pushback towards Elon Musk just yet from any of the Republicans in Congress, because he is pursuing things that they want them to pursue, which is waste, fraud, and abuse. And he's putting it out in the open and explaining it to people and why it's an issue. There may be one issue here or there where somebody's been critical of something that he's pursuing, but I think there is going to be this talk. And that's where Congress comes in here to codify a lot of what Elon Musk is doing, because Democrats are going all in on this and trying to stop this with the courtrooms. You know, there's a legal task force that Hakeem Jeffries, the minority leader, just announced that they're going to be pursuing. So something like uprooting USAID and trying to, in many ways, get the ball rolling on eliminating that agency altogether, that's going to be facing some serious pushback from Democrats in the courtroom. So if they want these things to stay intact, they're going to have to use Congress to, as a legislative body, to make sure that it goes that direction.
Well, Ryan Schmelz, we appreciate all this updates. Tons of comments coming through on YouTube. Just very glad that you've been a more regular addition to the show. And there's so much information each week. I appreciate you coming on here as well and giving us the lay of the land there on Capitol Hill. So thanks for being with us again once more today.
Hey, it's always a great time, Annie. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
All right. We'll talk to you again next week. Ryan Schmelz with Fox News Radio, the Capitol Hill and White House correspondent there. Very, very in the mix of all of it. He's talking to the people who are making making government happen there. And it's nice to have a very firsthand account of the goings on Capitol Hill. All right. When we take a break right now, Ryan Wiggins back in studio. When we come back, the YouTube live chat poll for today is grade the Super Bowl, A, B/C, D, or F. Let us know what you think. We're going to talk a little bit more about that throughout the course of the show. Right at 2 o'clock, we're going to go through, I've got a list of things that kind of are encompassed in the Super Bowl, and we're going to grade them individually. And then, of course, at the end of the show, we'll take your grades on the Super Bowl as a whole. Ryan Wiggins back in studio with Brad and myself when we come back. Do you know what the laws are in Wisconsin for drinking age?
I would have thought that they were 21.
Brad?
I have no idea.
I did not know this. In a related story, this is from WGN, of course, in Chicago. Illinois' neighbor to the north is well known for its prodigious alcohol consumption. That's an interesting take. And you know these Chicagoans and Wisconsinites do not like each other. Do you know that?
I did not.
Yeah, they do not like each other. They call each other names.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, if you go to Wisconsin from southern Illinois and you say you're from Illinois, you're going to be judged and you're not even going to know what's happening.
Ooh, they call you nasty names?
I think.
Do Illinoisans call Wisconsin things like cheesehead?
I don't think they're offended by that.
Oh, okay.
I think they coined that. A bill now up for consideration in the Illinois General Assembly proposes to put Illinois on the same footing as Wisconsin in at least one drinking measure. This blew my mind when I read this. According to WGN, the bill introduced by State Representative John Cabello, who I know, and he's a good guy, would amend the Liquor Control Act of 1934 to allow 18 to 20-year-olds to drink alcohol at bars and restaurants in Illinois so long as a parent or guardian is present.
Well, well, well.
I'm not mad at that.
I think, now that you mention it, I've heard that before about Wisconsin.
They call it, I got to read it right here. In Wisconsin, it's called, I'm going to say this wrong, Drink Wisconsinably. All right, Wisconsin, I see you.
Okay.
Well, I feel like, especially having a son who's 15, I feel like they should have drinks with me and my husband, or my husband, maybe a few times before they, of course, wait till they're 21 and consume it in mass quantities without me knowing.
So what the legislature is worried about in Illinois is that people are crossing state lines with their parents to have drinks and we're missing out on the action?
No, I don't think that's it at all. I think they're just saying from 18 to 20 in Wisconsin, you can drink with your parents when you're at a restaurant, and they're trusting parents to make good decisions for their kids, and why can't we do that in Illinois? We can go fight in a war and die.
It's always been the argument.
How about having one beer?
Well, imagine your kid gets drafted and you know they're
You're
going
talking
off
about military or beer?
Military.
Okay.
And you know they're shipping out the next day or, you know, shortly. Why shouldn't a parent be able to go out, have a drink with their 18-year-old military?
I just think
age?
That it's like a game you want to go out and you want to have a beer. Like, if they want to have a beer, I think that we in the United States, you probably know this more than I would because you travel more than I do, or your family does at least, but we do not address alcohol in the United States the way other countries do.
No. Alcohol is kind of part of culture a little bit more in a way. We marginalize it a little bit more. Like, we put it on the outskirts a little bit.
Especially when it comes to wine and dinner and stuff like that, that you could go a lot of places and you've got... Am I right? Like, a 12-year-old could have a little wine with a dinner? Is that extreme?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's 12, but I get the spirit of what you're saying.
Can we, you know, if we're talking about engaging in something, is alcohol bad or good or neither? It depends on how you use it. Then if you are having a drink, like, are we biologically, is it unsafe to biologically consume a drink when you're 18? Is it unsafe to biologically consume a drink when you're 21? I thought that the brain takes to like 25 to fully form, or maybe that's just with men. Does it take longer for men than women?
I don't think so.
It's debatable. I actually think that maybe that's true. I'm not saying that as a joke, but I could be wrong. But, I mean, if you're having one drink or even two drinks, but you're with mom and dad and you're experiencing that with mom and dad, okay, so maybe you could say, yeah, but Annie, why wouldn't you just wait till you're 21? I think the answer is most people don't wait till they're 21. I have told my children, they know this, that if they wait until 21 to have alcohol, I will take them on a cruise. And they're, my daughter, especially my oldest daughter, is like all aboard for that. My son is like, yeah, I got to have the cruise. But I'm looking at him like, dude, if I find out that you enjoy it a drink, it's not happening. I might be a softie on some other things, but that's not it. And I understand realistically that it's not likely that they would wait until they're 21. I didn't really drink until I was 21. I had drinks before I was 21, but I was never a heavy drinker. And I was around people who were doing it, but I was always kind of mom to the people who were around me. I just didn't like the feeling of not being in control of myself.
Mm-hmm. I liked going to parties, but I wasn't a big drinker either.
Yeah.
I think because I was
still in the mix, but yeah. I wasn't getting smashed. And people were definitely getting smashed around me, but it wasn't me.
Yeah, they did. And I always felt less sharp when I was drinking. So I just didn't enjoy it as much. I liked being funny. I liked being the funny guy at the party. And when I drank,
and if everyone around you's drunk, you're funny.
Well, sometimes, depending on the crowd.
Here, drink this. I've got jokes.
You know what was one of the weirdest things? Is at parties, when people would walk up to me, who some of them I did not know, and the person I would know would say, "This is Ryan. He's funny. Ryan, tell a joke."
Do people do that to you?
What are you going to do?
How many times in your life has that happened?
Well, I would say it happened multiple times in high school and college.
Then why didn't you have a joke ready? Just have the same joke ready every time.
I would not ever have one ready, because if I had one ready, it would be stale. And it had to be fresh. It had to be very fresh. So it had to be certified
fresh. Feels like
fresh.
In your weird sense of humor that saying the same joke every time would be spot on.
So I would just usually... just sort of do a little dance and be like, is this funny enough for you?
What if they were like, no?
I would walk away in shame. That's part of the deal.
What if they were like, yeah, that's funny enough for me?
I'd be like, good. All right. Okay. We can be friends now. We can go sit around the fire.
Support? This says the bill introduced by Representative Cabello would amend the Liquor Control Act of 1934 and allow 18 to 20-year-olds to drink alcohol at bars and restaurants in Illinois, so long as a parent or guardian is present. I wonder if alcohol means liquor too, or if it just means beer. It doesn't say specifically here. If Illinois changed that, and your son and your daughter, your twins are the oldest, if they were out and it was their 19th birthday and they wanted to have a beer, would you let them?
Probably.
I would.
It's just weird that of all the things that they're doing, I mean, you can do many things at one time, I understand, but like, this is the problems that you're worried about. I guess if you're in Chicago, this
I don't
is
know what you want the Republicans
more.
And the supermajority in the state of Illinois to do that's going to fix anything right now, because they can't.
No, I'm not saying
they,
that.
Like, literally, the Democrats don't even give Republicans more than 24 hours to read the budget that they have to vote on. They don't even get, they don't even need to see it because they have so many Democrats in the General Assembly that they can tell the Katie Stewarts of the Democrat Party to vote against things if they want to, because it's a purple district and Katie Stewart does what the Democratic Party and the Mike Madigan machine tells her to do. So they have extra, they have Democrats to spare. So I actually think this is kind of a good use of their time.
It's not the worst thing that they could do. I don't know. I it's just...
It's a weird take to me that you're like, Republicans are wasting their time doing
this.
No,
I'm not saying Republicans are wasting their time. I'm saying the people in charge are... I have so many things that they could do for the state.
Well, the Democrats are trying to make sure that they can institutionalize homeschooling. That's what the Democrats are doing. Yeah. I would like the Democrats to do less and the Republicans to do more, but we need to give the Republicans more Republicans in order for them to be able to do anything. You didn't ever answer the question. You support this or not?
I did. I said yes.
You said yes, you would let if it passed, but you think it's a good move?
I'm indifferent. No.
I'm indifferent. All right, Brad.
I'll tell you what, I am always in favor of giving parents more trust to control what their kids do, and I think that this does that. So
yeah, if your house rules are no drinking booze till you're 21, which ironically we come from parents who had a younger drinking age. They all remember when the drinking age was younger and got moved somewhere around the time when they were close to that age. You know, I don't know if 21's a magic number or not. But very interesting that that is taking place in the Illinois legislature. We'll talk more Super Bowl when we come back. Go vote in the YouTube live chat poll. Grade the Super Bowl. We'll be right back.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.